Welcome to the Victory in Living broadcast with your hosts, Ray and Pam Jackson. We are coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. Psalms 138, 7 through 8 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So plan on joining us every Saturday morning for good singing, testimonies, and the Word. But before we get into the lesson for today, let's ask Ray to come and sing for us.
If your heart is heavy with some grief or trouble, you do not have to bear it all alone, for you have a friend that knows about your struggles, and he'll be standing there when all your friends have gone, and he will calm the troubled waters of your soul. Take your broken heart and make you whole. And if the storms of your life grow dark and cold, he will calm the troubled waters of your soul.
That way with everybody I know.
just got acquainted with some poor red folks a little while ago. Well, I'm a poor, poor rich man. Well, I'm a poor, poor rich man. Well, oh, you see, it really happened to me that I'm a millionaire. I know that I am poor, but I've got a lot more than many rich folks that I know. I've got a home in the sky money cannot buy, 'cause I'm a poor, poor rich man. Now, when a man is rich with these worldly goods, he often boasts and has a lot to say. He wants to try to live so high when he knows that it's a sin. But even if I could, I don't believe I would want the riches of this old world. And when it's time to go, I'll be glad to know that I'm a poor, poor rich man. Well, I'm a poor, poor rich man. Well, me that I'm a millionaire. I know that I am poor, but I've got a lot more than many rich folks that I know. I've got a home in the sky that money cannot buy, 'cause I'm a poor, poor rich man.
Sunshine comes and sunshine goes, the shadows linger. Darkness fills the night with mystery and care. But within my heart, a gentle voice reminds me, fear no evil, Jesus said, for I'll be there. I don't need to understand, I just need to hold his hand. I don't need to ever ask the reason why, for I know he'll make a way through the night and through the day. For I don't need to understand, I just need to hold his hand. Life is like a mighty sea, so tossed and driven. Billows rise within the heart of every man. Storms so many times will leave the heart with questions that you don't need to understand. Just hold his hand. I don't need to understand, I just need to hold his hand. I don't need to ever ask the reason why, for I know he'll make a way through the night and through the day. For I don't need to understand, I just need to hold his hand. Oh, when my life down here is through and Jesus calls me to my home up there upon the golden shore, I'll look back, review the path that lay before me. But I won't care to understand anymore. Well, I don't need to understand, I just need to hold his hand. I don't need to ever ask the reason why. Oh, for I know he'll make a way through the night and through the day. I just need to hold God's hand.
Psalms 112, it says, In verse number 6, we'll read, "Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." Think about that. His heart is fixed. Now, if your heart is fixed, you're going to trust in the Lord. You're just not going to fear. You're not going to fear of evil tidings and of terror by night. All that stuff that's going on, it's not going to affect you. We hear a lot of things. And so our heart's fixed, so we're not afraid of evil tidings. We're not afraid. We're trusting in the Lord. See, because we know Psalms 46:1 says, He's a present help in time of trouble. Psalms 1, let's read Psalms 1. This is a great verse. It says in Psalms 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night." Sometimes we think, boy, look at the world. Man, they're so blessed and they're prosperous. Hey, but you know what? If they're not walking with God, and if they're not where they need to be with God, they don't have anything. It's just temporal. You know? It's just gone. There's nothing there. It's just holes in their pockets. It just comes and it goes. But you know what? We're blessed people. When you know God, you're blessed. Okay. So we fix our mind on the Word, dwell in it in our thought life, day and night. It's good to read the Bible every day. Now, if you want to become a good meditator, meditate on God, you're going to have to read the Word every day. You're going to have to get a fresh Word every day. Now, you're going to have to open that Bible and read it. Amen? I'm not saying you have to read from Genesis to Revelation this year. You ain't got that much left this year. But you do need to read the Word of God every day. You need to pray every day. And I don't mean just a two-minute prayer. You know, Lord, lay me down and sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to take if he does. You know, all that stuff. I'm talking about pray until it's lifted. Whatever's bothering you, you need to pray in the Spirit. Amen? Now, if you don't speak with other tongues, you don't pray in the Spirit. I understand that. But if you're a tongue talker and you speak in other tongues, then you know you will learn how to pray in the Spirit. Because as you pray and your prayer language begins to be exercised, you will begin to know how to pray in the Spirit. Because it will teach you things that nothing else will teach you. And we could talk about that a lot. And so, number 7, steps in preparing to meditate on God's Word. Number 1, you're going to pray in the Spirit. Now, get your mind quiet when you start praying in the Spirit. You know, now, you can just pray in English, but it's not like praying in the Spirit. Now, you can just pray in English for 30 minutes. But it's not like praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit will get your mind quiet so you can hear the Spirit of God. He'll begin to talk to you. And all the other things will get out away from you that's hindering and trying to bother you. And it will cause, and I like this song that David Ingalls used to sing, "Praying in the Spirit in a brand new tongue will bring your spirit and your body both into numb." I really believe that it, have you ever had your hand to go to sleep or your, you know, your foot and you try to move it, huh? And it's numb feeling. As you pray in the Spirit, you get numb. And the natural things are not there. It's all Spirit. And God speaks to you. And this is why when a person falls out on the power of God, at that very moment, that very few minutes, moments, they are strictly under the control of the Spirit of God. People have had visions. They have seen things. They have got answers. And they'll tell you later, "Wow, I've seen something I've never seen before." They fell on the Spirit, and the Spirit has total control on them. That's what we're talking about, praying in the Spirit. As you begin to pray in the Spirit, you'll find one of the big number one purposes for meditation, it leads to meditation, is praying in the Spirit. Okay, as you pray in the Spirit, your mind gets quiet, you hear the Spirit of God. Revelation knowledge does not come to the head first. Listen to me. It does not come to the head first. It comes to the heart first. It comes to the heart. And then the heart relays it to the head. And the heart says, did you hear what he said? The heart talks to the head. The head don't talk to the heart. Amen? Oh, I tell you. Whew, could we talk about that for a little while? But the heart speaks to the head, tells the head what to do. And then the head listens. Now, it's okay. You read over the scripture you intend to meditate. Whatever situation that you're wanting to meditate about, you find the scripture. The Word of God will give you the scripture to meditate. Then you read them over and over till you have a mental picture of what you're seeing. Begin then to dwell on it and read it. Absorb it. Listen to the Spirit of God. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. Wow, man, this time moves on, doesn't it? Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, 12 through 16. I'll hurry as fast as I can. Okay. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharpening two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. That is a very important verse. The last sentence is very important. Holding fast to your profession. That's so important. Then verse 16 is so important. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Now, you come boldly as you begin to pray in the Spirit. As you begin to meditate, you come in boldly to the throne of God, to the throne of grace. I'd like to say it like this. Okay. Now, let me get right here. I'm gonna go right here. Yeah. As you meditate and dwell on the Scriptures, you have come boldly before the throne of God. You have painted an image in your spirit, and you're standing before the throne of God. How do you approach Jesus at that time? Huh? Bold. You come bold before the throne of God. You come boldly, you know. You come boldly. It's not like you're trying to force God to do what you're saying, but God listens to you when you come boldly. You know. Now, I heard one preacher say yesterday on TBN, I listen to the telephone a lot, but he says that we can make God do it. And he did bring out some thoughts there on how to get God to do it. But I like to call it, God will do it for you when you come boldly. Okay, God will do it for you when you come boldly. Because why? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And you stand before him and you're looking at him. And you see the compassion in Jesus' eyes. In the spirit realm, you'll find the compassion of Jesus. You'll see the compassion of Jesus. And then you desire to see more of him. As you desire to see more of him and see the compassion, he's there to meet your every need. Now, when you speak to him in boldness and without fear, you'll say, Father, you call him Father. He's your Father. In the name of Jesus. Now, why do we say in the name of Jesus? Why couldn't we just say, well, in the name of the Son? Because his name is Jesus. In the name of Jesus, and it's a powerful name, it says in Mark 11:24 that whatsoever I desire when I pray, I believe I receive it. It's okay to talk to God this way. And I shall have it. Now, you're not going to beg him to give it to you. You're believing he's going to give it to you. I shall have it. And then you continue on. Because Philippians says in 4:19, everybody knows that one, don't they? But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. Isn't that good? When you come to him and you have a need, and you as you're praying in the Spirit and you're meditating on the Word of God, you find that compassion and you see the compassion, and it just makes you just get in love with Jesus totally deep with him, that you could ask him and he's going to do it. You know he's going to do it because you're saying, I know, I'll have it. It's mine. They say one thing around here, money cometh to me. And I like what they do here before the offering, says it's opportunity for prosperity time. It is. It's an opportunity. When I see all the hundreds of people walking down there every Sunday and putting that money in, the thought that hits me, boy, are they going to get blessed. Man, we ain't going to have no poverty in this house of God, huh? Man, these people's going to be so blessed. They can support all kinds of mission work across the world because they are giving to God. Because, see, when you release, when you take that envelope and you put that money in there and you walk there and you release that, you no longer have it. You're not touching that no more. That's gone. Where does it go? I don't know for sure, but I guarantee you it doesn't bother me what they do with it. All I know is I gave it. I expect God then to take care of my need. Amen? Amen? It don't matter to me. You know, I used to tell people, not pastor, they would be, you would always have somebody so bothered all the time about, where does the money go? I've had people approach me so many times, where does the money go? It goes. It goes. But you know what? You're being blessed. You're being blessed. So don't worry about where the money goes. Just think about what God's going to do for you, because he's going to keep his promise. Don't dwell on the problems. Dwell on the promise. Abraham said that he staggered not at the promises of God. Huh? He didn't stagger. He believed the promise. He didn't dwell on the problems. He was 100 years old. He didn't dwell on the problem. He's going to be a daddy. Amen? He's going to be a daddy. I know we pastored a couple one time, and he was like 50 years old and become a dad, and they called me and they said, what do you think about Abraham becoming a dad? I said, well, he was 100. You're only about 50. You know, you're a young person. Amen? He said, "Ooh, I don't feel like I'm at you." I said, well, you're going to get a good opportunity. And so, you know what? It's okay. It's all right to do this. Okay, what we're talking about here is listening to the Spirit of God, going before the throne of God, knowing that he's a high priest that will listen to you. He's not going to turn you down. He's not going to turn you down. When your heart is established by meditating the Word, you can refuse to receive the opportunities to be shaken. You can go to the throne room and have a little talk with your Father and your Lord Jesus. Amen. So we're going to bring everything in to subjection. And I'm going to leave you with a little thought. Amen. I was thinking about David, and this we're going to end it right here. When David went out but faced the giant Goliath, Have you ever been called a grasshopper? Has someone ever more or less just imposed on you that you're just a little grasshopper and you're not nothing and you're a wimp? He didn't go out looking at himself as a grasshopper, but he looked at himself as a giant. And what did he say? He said, I come to you in the Spirit of the Lord. I come to you with the Word of God. He had been meditating about some things that happened in his life. Now, this didn't say it in the Bible. This is what I'm phrasing to you this morning, is that he said, as he was going before Giant, he was meditating, I whipped the bear, I whipped the lion. This is going to be an easy prey for me. I don't think it was just a stone in the sling that done the job. I believe it was because he went in the Spirit of God. And he went with an attitude of prayer and meditation for God. He had his heart so fixed with the Lord that God guided that little stone right through that little opening of that little helmet of that giant. Have you ever thought about that? It went through the little hole of the helmet. I heard him preach one time. He didn't have a helmet. I said, oh, no, he had a helmet. He was loaded down with armor, the giant was. He had that hole, and that stone went right through the hole and hit him right there. Now, God guided that stone. I don't, you know, in the physical, we're not that good a shot. But God takes care of it, and he'll get it home. Amen? God bless you.
It's that time again. Time to say goodbye. But before we do, let me invite those of you who have not received Jesus as your personal Savior to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Your word says in Acts 2:21, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I am calling on you. I pray and ask Jesus to come into my heart and be Lord over my life according to Romans 10:9-10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I do that now. I confess that Jesus is Lord, and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. Now declare, I am now reborn. I am a Christian, a child of Almighty God. I am saved. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you to write us at Victory in Living Ministries at 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Email us at victoryinliving, that's all one word, victoryinliving@aol.com. Please visit us at our website at Victory in Living Ministries, again, all one word, victoryinlivingministries.org. Until next week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, according to Numbers 6:24-26.
We often judge a man by the clothes he wears or the car he's riding in. You can often tell if he is doing very well by the house he's living in. But I am here to say it don't work that way with everybody I know. I just got acquainted with some poor red folks a little while ago. Well, I'm a poor, poor rich man. Well, I'm a poor, poor rich man. Well, oh, you see, it really happened to me that I'm a millionaire. I know that I am poor, but I've got a lot more than many rich folks that I know. I've got a home in the sky money cannot buy, 'cause I'm a poor, poor rich man. Now when a man is rich with these worldly goods, he often boasts and has a lot to say. He wants to try to live so high when he knows that it's a sin. But even if I could, I don't believe I would want the riches of this old world. And when